This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome. Welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Yehi Swuhib in Washington. Coming up on Africa News Tonight.
On our projection, children in Africa will account for around 55% of all extreme poverty in the world by 2030.
That's Kevin Watkins of Save the Children on a new report on global poverty, warning that African children are being left further behind. Details coming up. Also, the Algerian military appears to be running out of patience with protesters, moving to ban them from coming into the capital. And Kenyan teachers and pupils have embraced digital learning in schools. We'll have these stories and more ahead on Africa News Tonight. But first, our top story. More than 150 world leaders are preparing to attend the UN Sustainable Development Summit in New York beginning September 25th with the aim of agreeing on a new agenda to tackle global poverty. But a new report warns that African children are being left further and further behind and will make up more than half of the world's poor by 2030. As Henry Ridgewell reports from London, the report's authors are scathing of both African governments and the international community for failing to adequately tackle the problem.
The United Nations has 17 sustainable development goals. Number one on the list is eradicating extreme poverty by 2030. The world will fall well short of that target, according to the latest report from Save the Children and the Overseas Development Institute. It delivers a devastating verdict on global efforts to eradicate extreme poverty among children in Africa. Kevin Watkins is chief executive of Save the Children UK.
On our projection, children in Africa will account for around 55% of all extreme poverty in the world by 2030.
The report authors say Africa's children are being left further and further behind and predict that 87 million African children will be born into poverty each year in the 2020s.
On average, women are still having 4 to 5 children. And it's the part of the world where poverty is coming down most slowly, partly because of slow growth, but also because of very high levels of inequality.
An estimated 40% of Africans still live on less than $1.90 a day. Again, Kevin Watkins.
A child born into poverty faces greater risks of illiteracy, greater risks of mortality before the age of 5. They're between 2 and 3 times more likely to die before their 5th birthday. They're far less likely to escape poverty themselves, which means that they will become the transmission mechanism for poverty to another generation.
The report criticizes African governments for failing to develop coherent policies and also warns that the IMF, the World Bank, and other donors are failing in their response. More than 150 world leaders are due to attend the United Nations Sustainable Development Summit later this month in New York and will aim to agree on an agenda for the next 15 years. Dramatic changes in approach are urgently needed, says Watkins.
Transferring more monetary resources to children who are living in poverty has to be part of the solution. But we know also that money is not enough. It's critically important that these children get access to the basic nutritional services, the basic health interventions, and the school systems that they need to escape poverty.
The report warns that if poverty reduction targets are not met, the world will also fall well short on other sustainable development goals in education, health, and gender equality. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
New UN data shows Sub-Saharan Africa lags behind all other regions in the world in reducing child and maternal mortality. Estimates by the World Health Organization and UN Children's Fund reveal conflict, Fragile health systems and poverty are some of the factors accounting for millions of preventable child and maternal deaths. Lisa Schlein reports from the launch of the report in Geneva.
The UN agency says since 2000, child deaths have dropped by nearly one half, and maternal deaths are down by more than one third, mostly due to better access to affordable, quality health services. The new estimates, however, show that 6.2 million children under the age of 15 died last year, and nearly 300,000 women died of complications related to pregnancy and childbirth in 2017. The agency's report, a pregnant woman or newborn dies every 11 seconds somewhere in the world, mostly of preventable causes. Peter Salama is WHO's executive director of universal health coverage. He says women and children in sub-Saharan Africa are at higher risk of death than in all other regions.
In 2017, for the first time, half of all child deaths occurred in sub-Saharan Africa. Because of increasing fertility rates, we project that number to reach more than 60% of all global child deaths. For maternal deaths today, two-thirds occur in sub-Saharan Africa.
Salama says the lifetime risk of a woman dying of pregnancy-related causes is around 1 in 37 in Africa, compared to 1 in 7,800 in Australia, his home country. He says the risk of delivering a baby in countries with a stable government is far less than in countries affected by conflict. He says countries with modest means can make progress in reducing child and maternal mortality. He cites Belarus, Bangladesh, Cambodia, Malawi, and Zambia.
It's clear one reason is they've made a heavy investment in sexual, reproductive, maternal, newborn, and child health. They're choosing the right programs and they're investing accordingly in them. But that's not the whole story. They're investing in primary health care and in universal health coverage. In short, they're investing in more comprehensive and integrated systems.
The UN Sustainable Development Goals aim to reduce maternal mortality to less than 70 per 100,000 live births and under 5 child mortality to at least 25 per 1,000 live births by 2030. WHO and UNICEF say the world must act now and invest the money needed to reduce these deaths. They warn otherwise, 62 million children under the age of 5 will die between now and 2030, and more than a million maternal lives will be lost. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Kenyan teachers and pupils have embraced digital learning in schools as the East African nation moves forward with its ambitious program to promote digital literacy among young students. From the coastal city of Mombasa, VOA's Ruben Chama reports.
At Bamburi Primary School, a group of 20 grade 1 pupils are gathered in a newly refurbished computer lab.
Then count other 3 counters. 3 counters, when you put them together, we get 6 counters. That is good.
The room has 14 computers forming a network. 9-year-old Baraka Kasena is among the excited young learners taking a numerical lesson in mathematics through computer games.
Jina langu naitwa Baraka Kasena. Mwalimu wangu naitwa Madam Doris. Yatufundisha na computer. Class yetu ndo hii hapa. Wanatusoma na hakuna shida yoyote.
He says, my teacher is called Dorothy. She teaches us computer lessons and this is my class. It's fun taking numerical lessons using computer games. I would like to become a pilot when I grow up.
Kabisa masomo. Nataka kuwa pilot.
The school is among several others in Kenya benefiting from an innovative program of interactive multimedia software and extensive professional development for teachers to enhance teaching and improve the learning of children. It is supported by Canada's International Development Research Center. Dorothy Mariga, Baraka's class teacher, says initially she was afraid of the new technology, but after undergoing a series of training workshops, she now appreciates the software. That's because it helps her too.
In the beginning, I was not prepared at all because the word APRA to me was new and I didn't understand exactly what was going to happen. But when I attended the lessons there, I was introduced to the LTK kit. Now I knew there are some activities in the laptops or in the computers that can integrate with the lessons that we teach in class.
The learning software, known as Learning Toolkit, supports the development of literacy and numeracy in young children, as well as the development of critical inquiry skills in learners of all ages. According to a recent research, Scaling Digital Learning in Kenya, millions of children in the developing world lack access to basic quality education. Maina Wagioko is the head of professional learning at Aga Khan Academy Mombasa and African ambassador for the new learning software.
In sub-Saharan Africa, one of the shocking discoveries is that out of 10 students in a class, 4 are not learning. They're attending class, they're doing every activity, but they're not learning. This is because the way the teacher is teaching, the teacher teaches to the middle. So as they're teaching to the middle, they avoid the very sharp students and those who are struggling. So we are losing because of the style of teaching in the class.
The learning software has already been introduced to numerous African countries, including Tanzania, Uganda, and Rwanda. In Kenya, the government has prioritized digital learning as one of the key flagship projects aimed at integrating technology into teaching and learning for pupils in primary schools. But there are some impediments. The World Bank says in its latest report, Electricity Access in Sub-Saharan Africa, many African countries experience frequent power outages, becoming a major hindrance to the rollout of digital learning in schools, which is reliant on adequate electricity supply. Ruben Chama, VOA News, Mombasa, Kenya.
The Algerian military appears to be running out of patience with protesters, moving to ban them from coming into the capital and reportedly arresting another top activist. The actions could set the stage for confrontation after the announcement of elections on December 12th. The protesters have demanded major reforms and the ouster of the political old guard before voting can take place. Regular mass demonstrations started in February and led to the resignation of longtime president Abdelaziz Bouteflika. The interim administration has arrested a number of officials and businessmen on corruption charges in an effort to appease protesters' demands, but the crowds have continued to gather. Military leader General Ahmed Gayit Salah announced yesterday that police have been told to seize vehicles shuttling protesters into the capital and fine their owners. He said certain parties with bad intentions were abusing freedom of movement and falsely claiming to be the voice of the people. Activists said today that Fodil Boumala, a prominent opposition activist and anti-government protester, was arrested last night. Three other activists were recently detained. Their lawyers say they have been accused of contributing to weakening the army's morale. You're listening to African News Tonight, live on the following frequencies, 15580 and 6080 kilohertz, on the Voice of America. I'm Yehiyis Wuhib in Washington. Nineteen past the hour, here's a recap of our top stories. World leaders are preparing to attend the UN Sustainable Development Summit in New York with focus on tackling global poverty. Kenyan teachers and pupils have embraced digital learning in their schools. And the Algerian military appears to be running out of patience with protesters, moving to ban them from coming into the capital. And for more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Malawi is struggling to end child trafficking as efforts to reinforce legislation intended to stop the problem remain a challenge. The Trafficking in Persons Act, which was enacted 4 years ago, also mandated the creation of a special fund to support victims. Lamek Masina reports from Blantyre.
A teenager who we will call Maggie recalls the day back in 2018 when she says she and other two girls were trafficked from Neno district in southern Malawi to work as prostitutes in the commercial capital, Blantyre. Maggie said their families were misled by two strangers who came to their village pretending that a woman was seeking to recruit girls as housemaids. She said they were later turned over to this woman, but they were not taken to the person's home. She says when we arrived in Blantyre, we were taken to a drinking joint full of men taking opaque beer. We were given knives. When we asked about the use of the knives, she told us that we were employed to serve beer and sleep with men to earn a living. Maggie was 17 at the time. The other two were 16 and 19. Maggie says although they were devastated and scared, thoughts of poverty back home forced them to do as they were told after being promised a salary of about $20 a month. She says she gave us a target of sleeping with 40 men per day, but she was the one collecting the payment and never paid us the promised salary. And whenever we failed to meet the target, we were not given food to eat. After forcibly working as a prostitute for 2 months, Maggie, now 18, says tough conditions forced the three of them to flee. The issue later caught the attention of child rights group People Saving Girls at Risk, which runs a project on child trafficking. Since last September, however, their case has been beset with delays, largely due to lack of interest in reinforcing existing anti-trafficking laws. In 2015, Malawi enacted a Trafficking in Persons Act, which mandated the creation of Trafficking in Persons Fund to support the victims in terms of care and court proceedings. Child rights campaigners say the arrangement continues to lack procedures to support the victims. They say, for example, no budget has been allocated to the fund this year. Caleb Ngombo is the director of People Saving Girls at Risk.
Lack of enforcement of laws is affecting us in so many ways. For example, for an institution to take a case to court requires a lot of resources. And for you just to lose it on technicality is a major setback, not only to us as an organization, but also to the girls who are searching for justice.
Ngombo says with support from international women's rights organization, Equality Now, efforts are being made to seek justice for victims.
On average, every year, we respond to a considerable number of cases, both in the way that we respond to them directly, but also just to make referral to other organizations. So I would say in a year, an average of not less than 200 cases.
The organization also provides economic empowerment to vulnerable young people like Maggie.
We have identified a community-based trainer on tailoring skills as well as knitting skills to ensure that they have some business skills for them to manage the tailoring as well as the knitting project.
Peter Langwe is the Child Protection Officer in the Ministry of Gender, Children, Disability and Social Welfare. He told VOA that despite challenges in reinforcement of the trafficking in persons legislation, other efforts are being made to stop the vice. He says the ministry is holding meetings to encourage communities to reinforce child protection rules. Langwe says the bylaws stipulates that those found or facilitating child trafficking are subjected to a penalty of 4 goats to their traditional leaders and have their cases taken to court. The effort, Langwe says, has helped cut trafficking in girls by 1/2. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Blantyre.
Mamadou Wed Diop has been working with drones both in the photography and health sectors for years. But recently, he decided to work with local blacksmiths and construct a drone made entirely in Senegal. In the city of Mbor, VOA's Isha Sarai has more.
Mamadou Wad Diop, who calls himself Dr. Drone on social media, is one of the few people, if not the only person, in the Dakar area who can fix broken drones. But recently, he's taken his knowledge a step further, consulting with drone makers across the world on how to construct one of his own.
Parce qu'avec Internet maintenant, on peut communiquer avec des gens qui sont, par exemple, dans d'autres pays du monde.
Job says that through the internet, he's been able to communicate with other drone makers in France and in China to chat about their experiences. Though he does a lot of work in the audiovisual sector, renting his services out to news and documentary crews, as well as collecting drone footage of various places in Senegal to sell, the purpose of his first Made in Senegal drone will be the health sector, a drone that can spread chemicals to prevent mosquito breeding in stagnant water. Not all materials necessary to make the drone are available in Senegal, but Diop says he wants to prove that it's possible to make this technology right here in his home country.
La fibre de carbone ne peut pas, on peut pas le traiter.
Diop says that carbon fiber isn't available in Senegal. Though he ordered it from China, he worked with local blacksmiths to shape pieces for his drone. And as for local materials, he was able to recycle a piece of aluminum from a broken refrigerator to form a part of the body of his drone. Mamadou Diallo is an owner of a photography shop who often collaborates with Diop. Diallo says the demand for drones in Senegal is not high, but is increasing, though there's not yet enough of a market. But he supports Diop, who says that if they don't start making their own drones now, foreign companies will come in and begin to sell them at much higher prices. Isha Sarai, VOA News, Mbour, Senegal.
And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yehiye Suhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Please stay tuned to the sunny side of sports coming up, 18:30 UTC. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, Nashwa Kali, thanks for choosing The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in, you will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa.
VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hey, sports fans, brighten your day by tuning in to the sunny side of sports Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Sunny and on Twitter at VOA Sunny Sports. Or check out the blog at blogs.voanews.com/sunny. It's the sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.